Tell me that you saw it. Didn't think I'd turn around and say,
hello and welcome again to another edition of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornBySports.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm quite well.
This is good. Quite well. Is our anger subsided from last night?
Yeah, it's dissipated.
All right.
It's just one of those things. I always know three or four games, Jazz are just going to get screwed by the refs, and this was one of them. And it was very telling how many mistakes the NBA had to admit they made in the last 30 seconds of the game.
Yeah.
And it was very telling that this is the first time this season that the refs refused to talk to the media when requested.
Yep.
So, you know, everyone knows... Everyone knows that the refs got it wrong and doesn't really mean anything. The win-loss column is still the same.
Whoa, John, they said they were sorry.
Did they say they were sorry?
I don't know.
They said they were wrong. Did they say they were sorry?
I don't think they said they were sorry.
Yeah, they did not say they're sorry. We're in a new age. People don't say they're sorry anymore.
And I'm sorry, but 2 points down... and a foul that has an opportunity of tying up the game. I want those 2 points.
Were they fouled on purpose? Yeah.
Yeah, I want those 2 points back, and then we might as well play overtime to make up for whatever was lost from last night, too. I'm just saying. Because Withy would have drained both those free throws. That would have tied it up.
I don't know about that.
Oh, Withy.
He seemed to be splitting his free throws all night.
Fine.
You know, at the end of the day, we can complain about the officiating, and yeah, it sucked. I mean, it really sucked at times. But the Jazz had a chance to put Houston away, it seemed like, early, and they let them right back in it. They were up by, what, 15 points at one time?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and when you let a team climb back into the game in the second half when you've got them down by 15, some of the fault has to come back to the team.
Thanks, Devin. Devin rained on the parade. Reality back here. We can't bag on the officials anymore.
No, we can.
Yeah, we can.
We certainly can. But I just mean there has to be some accountability for the way the second half played out.
I would agree. So, I mean, we're talking about last night. So let's talk
well,
about...
Well, clearly Elijah Millsap's fault since they went ahead and waived him today.
Gosh. All right,
oh,
I need
the
you
one
to
guy that didn't get in the game.
You've probably got stats up or can bring them up. I need you to settle a disagreement here. It was a slight disagreement.
Okay.
Did Millsap play last night and how many minutes?
He just said no.
No.
Okay. Devin, I didn't hear him say
he was
no.
A DMP.
Because I was ready to ask that question. That's, you're the one that told me earlier that he did.
Me?
Yes, you. Anna?
It wasn't me.
Thank you. Yeah, it was you, Devin. You said he did.
I don't like having a live studio audience.
No, I told him, I says, we have too many threes on the team. I told him that Chris Johnson wears number 33. And then Trey Burke wears 3. And Elijah wears 13. So it's easy to mix them up. Anybody going to correct me on 33?
I really don't remember what numbers all of them wear.
All right. Anyway.
Elijah's 13, Booker's 33, CJ's 23.
So Booker's 33. All right, Devin. So you're 1 for 2 tonight. 50%.
With these stats.
And I'm 50%, so we're good.
Here's the thing about Withy. He's a 65% free throw shooter, so he probably would have split those free throws. But then the Jazz are only down 1. And then the next possession, if the refs had called Gordon Hayward getting bear hugged so he couldn't get the pass before they even passed the ball in, That would have been two free throws in the ball. There was a lot there.
Yes.
I don't want to dwell on that too long. Getting back to Elijah Millsap, we knew he was a good perimeter defender, but he was such a liability on offense that he had to be the odd man out. He was shooting on the season 28% and 8% from three.
Yeah, there you go. And
they can't justify that.
And Chris Johnson is playing very well offensively. And let's be honest, he actually did all right defensively last night. He's actually done all right defensively of late. So,
yeah. Yeah, his numbers do bear out. He's actually a little better on defense than offense.
Yeah, but he's still an improvement on offense over what Millsap was.
Everyone's better on offense than Millsap was.
Yeah. Hate seeing Millsap go. That's the second time we've had to send a Millsap away from Salt Lake. But you're right. It was the odd man out. Not surprised that it was him. I don't know. I mean, thoughts. I want your thoughts on where the Jazz are at right now, because I mean they're 15-18. You posted some thoughts last night that you posted a bunch of numbers that the wins losses without Favors, wins losses without Gobert, wins losses without Exum, and then also without Alec Burks. I'm trying to remember what all those numbers were. You still haven't pulled up?
Well, the main one is without Rudy. Without Rudy, they're 7-12. So,
which mind you,
which is better than it was like a week or two ago. I'm actually impressed that with all the games where we have not had Exum and Burks and Rudy and Favors, that they're not doing worse. I think that's really good. I think they've been holding on nicely in this acceptable range to, they're treading water till Rudy gets back.
Well, and
they get Rudy back in 2 or 3 weeks, supposedly.
Well, good news went out today that good news and bad news all in the same tweet. Bad news is Favors did not make the trip to San Antonio. Good news is Rudy did. If that's good news.
I don't know what to do with that since Rudy's been with the team quite a bit, even though he can't play.
Right. Which,
I mean, Dante's usually with the team too. That doesn't really tell me much.
I think the half of that tweet that means more than anything is that Favors did not make the trip to San Antonio. That ought to say something. So.
Yeah.
Eight straight games without Derek right now. Eight straight games, and this is going to be number nine, and I doubt that he's going to join him in Houston, so you're going to see two nights in a row where he's not going to be there again. We may not see him hit the floor until Saturday against the Heat, if he does. So,
I don't know. I mean, they keep saying questionable every game, and, you know, when you say questionable and football, it means if you don't play that game, you will play the next game.
Right.
It's questionable in basketball is funny to me. It's just like we don't want the other team to know what we're doing.
Right. I don't know. I'm just there's a lot to be thinking about right now. And back to where you were going with this, they've kept their head above water a little bit with Rudy. I was looking at the Western Conference standings right now. The Jazz are only six games out of the fourth spot, if that's any sort of a silver lining right there. You have Golden State, Oklahoma City, and the Spurs, and then after those top three, everyone else. And the Clippers are in the fourth seed, and they're 10.5 games back of Golden State. The Jazz are only sitting six games back of that fourth seed. If there's a silver lining to be made, maybe it's that one, that they're doing so without Rudy. You get Rudy back. What does that mean? I would hope that means great things.
I don't know about catching the Clippers. They've won six in a row.
Right.
They seem to have gotten things figured out. I think the highest seed the Jazz can really shoot for would be fifth. They're only four games behind Dallas. That seems more doable, and they're still two games ahead of Portland for the eighth seed, so they're okay there. They're now a half game behind Houston. Houston, you know, they lost five in a row. They barely got out of Utah with that win. I think once Gobert is back, it'll really be easy to jump Houston, and that Memphis has not played consistently at all either. So I would say sixth seed is actually quite realistic for the Jazz, and fifth seed could be something they shoot for.
Right.
I think Carlisle's a good enough coach that I don't see Dallas falling off the map or anything. So,
well, it's mostly because Darren Williams. It's not because of Carlisle, right?
Well, Darren's playing his best in years.
I'm sorry.
It's
yes,
not Darren Williams.
For those who are late to the party, I'm addressing another friend/hater on Facebook yet again, that he constantly reminds me that Dallas is where they're at because of Darren Williams. So, you know, whatever.
Every show.
Every show.
You bring this up every show.
Why not?
Because he's a little bit brain damaged and we don't need to encourage him.
Well, I'm going to encourage him because I know he doesn't listen to our show. I did pose a bet to him the other day, and he never responded. So I guess I posed
a bet to him at the beginning of the year. He never responded.
I know, but I figured a friend, someone he's known, you know, for 20 plus years, all he has to do is pose a bet, and he has an opportunity to take me up on that bet, and he never did. His loss, or should I say,
actually, you know, it's probably his gain because he would have lost.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
You've known him for 20 years.
Oh yeah, I've known him. I've known him since. Actually, it's probably been more than 20 years. I've known he and his mom for probably 25 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's leave the moms out of it and move on. No, it's funny we talk about playoff position because as soon as Alec went down, I threw out a poll on Twitter, and the replies I got were actually, if I recall, a 50-50 split between two of the options. I had that they could finish sixth or higher, seventh place, eighth place, or they'd miss the playoffs. Even down the middle with missing the playoffs and the eighth seed, no one felt confident enough to say that after the Alec injury that they would be able to climb up to seven or above. Do you guys agree with that, what do you think?
Well, according to the numbers John threw out last night, the Jazz have a winning record without Alec, whether that means anything or not. But I with what you're saying, I really want to see what the makeup of this team is like with Rudy back on the floor, even if you are without Alec right now. I'm not going to lie. I feel like Alec brings something to this team that is hard to replace, just like Rudy does. I thought last night the Jazz, if they had Alec Burks on the floor, would have won that game. And I have reasons to back that up. I can give them. But I felt like last night the Jazz needed what Alec Burks could bring to the floor. They didn't have it. So I'd have to say, yeah, without Alec, I don't think they get higher than the seventh seed. With Rudy, again, it depends on what Rudy brings. I mean, he brings defense, but you got to be able to score when games matter too.
Well, Houston had figured out what to do with the Jazz in the second half, and it really got down to Gordon and Rodney were the only scorers, and Trey was having an off night, and they really figured all that out in the second half. You know, Dwight's big enough down low that he can handle Booker and Lyles, and Withy's not much of a scorer against bigger guys. He's great to be down low, but he's not like crafty or anything. And really, yeah, in the fourth quarter, you just kind of wish they had another scorer you could go to, but they only had Gordon and Rodney
and
that were going to be able to do it.
And a lot of people were down on Hayward last night, and even Hayward admitted to it. He made some mistakes down the stretch that were critical in that loss. there's a few plays I refer to my reasoning behind Alec, and one of them goes right with what you said. They could have used the score. There were four straight moments in the final minute and a half of that fourth quarter where Rodney Hood was isolated with Harden. Harden was guarding him. And, you know, if anybody knows, Harden can't play defense. He's not a defender, not even close. And I thought Rodney, I'm not going to use passive because I don't think that's a fair word, but I thought Rodney played a little bit more of I don't know, he didn't attack. And when you put the ball in Alec Burks' hands, especially when he's facing against somebody like Harden, he attacks. And that's what you needed. And I felt like there were moments where Hood, and I kept yelling, and the people who were sitting next to me knew this. I kept telling Hood, like, Harden's guarding you. Go at him. You know, just attack him. Make him guard you. And four straight times, I felt like Rodney did not take advantage of that opportunity. And he's, you know, to be fair, he's not a guy who attacks the basket like Burks does. But that's something I think the Jazz could have used in moments last night. If Burks was being guarded by Harden, Burks attacks the rim, gets to the free throw line, maybe gets a few points at the free throw line that you weren't getting out of Hayward or Hood.
Hmm. Well, Harden was trying last night. I mean, I was watching him in the fourth, and he was all over Rodney.
Yeah, he was. But that's that
and you don't usually see that.
No, you don't. And I do, and I'll give him credit for that because I saw that. Granted, Rodney is only in his second year in the league, whereas Burks is in his fourth or fifth year, and I wonder if that might have had something to do with it as well. Perhaps.
Yeah, and one thing that really kind of jumped out to me, and I hate to do this, but I'm going to go back to the officiating. It really shows, I mean, this is still a superstar league, and there were some really bad calls and non-calls. I mean, throughout the game, we can focus on the two in the last 30 seconds because that seemed to make a lot of difference. But I really think once the Jazz get a superstar or two, that they're going to benefit more from that. And Hayward hasn't been made an all-star yet. I don't think he's going to get in this year. His numbers are good enough too, but I don't know. There's still a lot of really good number putter uppers in the West.
Right. I
actually thought Favors or Gobert had a better shot before they got injured. Now I think they're missing too many games to get in there.
I have to agree with that, especially with Favors. Favors was on his way to a phenomenal year. I have a question to throw at you, something I thought about tonight. You know, everybody's watching in the East. Jimmy Butler is going crazy. A lot of people suspected that early on, that he was going to turn into a superstar, that he was going to do what he is. He's been in the league now, what, how many years? 7 years? Is that right?
About right.
Six or 7 years. It took him how many years to get to the superstar level? He wasn't there yet, maybe, what, 2 years ago? Does that sound about right?
Well, he's been in... Oh, this is only his fifth year, and he was an all-star in his fourth year.
Oh, okay. No, the point I'm trying to get at here is I wonder, it's taken him to get to this superstar level where he's putting up, where he's taking the load, bearing it. Are we still maybe a year or two away where Gordon Hayward, Alec Burks, somebody like that on the Jazz is going to hit that stride and that moment?
I mean, Gordon's close.
Yeah, I agree.
Jimmy Butler became an all-star once he was scoring 20 points a game. Hayward is at something like 18.9 points a game. There's something about that magic number 20, where if he could get his average to 20 points a game, that might do it to get him in.
Right.
And plus the Jazz they're at least a playoff team, and that really helps with player selections.
Agreed.
So... that's what he needs. And once Gobert gets back, then I think spacing will probably be a little bit better. Because the guys just aren't worried down low about Booker and Lyles and Withy. But when Gobert's there, Gobert if he gets the ball within 3 feet of the basket, he's scoring. And that's all there is. So there won't be as much cheating out on the perimeter. And maybe that'll help him get his shooting up and get him over that 20 points a game hump.
See, to me, what it's going to take is it's going to take other guys stepping up for Hayward to make that next step. I think what you'll see is if this team sticks together and if these guys grow, you know, Alec obviously out last year, I think hurt everyone on the team. Not just the team, but I think when you have more threats, I mean, you look at Butler. If you had Butler as your go-to guy on a team, I don't know how that would be, but he's had guys around him that can play. You know, he has Rose, he's had Noah, he's had... Is this Gasol's second year with the Bulls?
Yes.
You know, yeah. He's had all-star talent around him. Whereas you look at the Jazz, they don't have an all-star on the team. They don't have anyone that's been there. They don't have anyone that's commanding attention. So, favors too, but especially Gordon. Gordon last year was just smothered by teams because he was the guy. And I think as you have someone like Burks or like Hood, the way Hood is played is great for Rodney, but that is also great news for Gordon because it's going to help space the floor. It's going to get the defense focusing on other areas, and that should allow him to improve his game as well. I think the Jazz really just need to go out this next offseason and try to pick up a star, not you know, a top 10 player by any means, but a high-profile free agent or two, get Exum back, get healthy, and if everyone can stay healthy, I think you've got a few guys that can make a compelling argument next season for an all-star spot. You know, I think Favors could make it. I think Hayward could make it. I think Gobert, especially as a coach's choice, could make it. But it's going to come down to them staying healthy, not only individually, but as a team as well, because like you were saying, your win-loss as a team is going to play a big role in you getting an individual selection to an all-star game.
Yeah, I mean, Hayward was averaging 19 points a game. I don't know what he was averaging at this point last year, but at this point last year, the Jazz were 11-22. So that's really not going to help your an all-star bid. So they're 4 games ahead of where they were last year, even with all these injuries. So I'm feeling good about all that.
Well, let's talk about the effect of the injuries on some of these other players for a minute, John. I want your thoughts. Has this been good for the team as a whole and for the players? And who benefits? I mean, I say this loosely because you can include coach on this. Who benefits the most from some of these injuries?
Trey Lyles benefits. He's been getting some quality minutes, and he's actually been showing that, you know what, he really could be a good player. I mean, he's clearly still a ways away, but he's getting more confidence with every game. And I'm a lot more encouraged now about how his second year may go based on what we're seeing so far this year, basically in the last few games. Since Favors went down, the Jazz's defense has improved. Their offense has gone down and their defense has improved, which seems kind of weird.
That's very weird.
When Gobert went down, the Jazz tried to use their offense to win. And so their offensive numbers went up and their defensive numbers went down. And they were kind of treading water there. But then when Favors went down, and maybe Burks to a degree too. Like, for example, I went back to mid-December. So the Jazz are 5-4 over the last 9 games. And in those 9 games, they're 20th in offense, but they are 7th in defense. And for the year, it's something like 16th in offense, 15th in defense. They're right in the middle. But just in the past few games, you've seen their offense go down and their defense go up, which I actually like, because when they went on their tear last year, they went from being a great offense and a terrible defense, and they reversed it, and they had a lot more success that way. So if their defense is going up, then that is a good sign.
The one area I've liked on offense that has gone up, and I would hope when Gobert returns that this does not drop, they're taking more threes, and that's a good thing. I think the Jazz need to take more threes. They're taking I think last night in the loss, they took 29 threes, 30 threes last night. And I think the night before or two nights before that, they had shot 28, 29. They're shooting more threes, which is good because they're shooting it at a 40 to 45% clip. Now they, you know, and so yeah, I agree with you. Their offensive numbers have gone down, but there are certain parts of their offense that have gone up that I like.
Yeah, they were 12 of 29 from three, which is 41%.
Which is really good.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, and I look at who's benefiting, and you've talked about Lyles. Lyles has been really good, and I like what I've seen from him. Withy has benefited, obviously. Even at moments, Tibor Pleiss has come in and wowed a few people. I don't know if he's benefited or not. We haven't had enough time for him. The one person that I alluded to that I think has benefited a lot in some ways is Quinn Snyder. Quinn Snyder's having an opportunity here, or we are having an opportunity here to see what kind of coach Quinn is. And without his lineup, he's been able to gather some of these guys that probably wouldn't make an NBA roster in a normal circumstance. And they're winning some ball games, and they're staying afloat without four of their main guys. That to me is a huge nod to what Quinn's doing with the team.
Well, I mean, just about everyone is benefiting. Rodney Hood, they've really turned to him, and they said, "We really need you to." He knows he has to be the second, if not the leading scorer on the team. In his last three games, he's had 18, 32, and 23. He's there to be the second guy. And he was the second guy the whole time he was with Jabari Parker. And now he's in a position where the Jazz have had so many injuries that he needs to be that guy now. And he's doing it. He got 23 points on only 9 shot attempts. That is amazing offensive efficiency.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, if he had just made that third free throw,
and oh, by
we would have had overtime, and who knows what would have happened.
And oh, by the way, this is the same guy who struggled early on in the season. So, again, back to your point, he's benefiting. Yeah. He's got a chance to get his confidence back, to get his game back, to get back on par, and it's working.
Yeah.
You know, it's just funny to think about the start of the season. I remember Tony Jones from Salt Lake Trib getting in arguments with people because they were saying, oh, we need to move Hood. Hood's not going to be anything great. You can get something better. And we're seeing substantial flashes. I mean, it's not just a moment. It's a string of games, like you said, John, where he's showing, hey, this guy could be something special on this team. He's only in his second year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what was said on the pregame last night? I don't know if anybody else heard this, but I was listening to the pregame on the way out to the game last night. And Spencer Nelson, one of the guys that's on with Spence Chegets on pregame, talked about comps. He went over comps in the league for certain players. Rodney Hood, he said his ceiling comp, the guy he can, that his ceiling would be, oh my gosh, I just totally lost my train of thought.
Oh, that guy's good.
He's a former Dukie too. Why did I forget his name all of a sudden? Grant Hill, sorry. Totally forgot it. He said his comp, his ceiling comp is Grant Hill. Agree or disagree?
I'd take that.
Yeah.
A healthy Grant Hill? Absolutely, I'd take that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's his ceiling. So he can be that good. Is he going to be that good? Well, that still remains to be seen, but I would definitely take it. Yeah. So. Thoughts going forward, three games this week. at the Spurs, back to back at Houston, and then back home Saturday, Miami. Where are we going to be sitting on Saturday night? We're 15 and 18 now.
I'm going to predict they go 1-2 over those next three games.
So 16 and 20 by the end of the week.
Yep.
Okay.
Still be an eighth seed though.
Yes. And the logical choices there is that they win at home against Miami and lose the two road games.
Yeah, but the season has been just weird enough that I don't want to pick which game they win.
Right. And maybe Whiteside
comes. It probably won't be the Spurs, but
right.
Between the Rockets and the Heat, they'll win one of them.
Maybe Whiteside comes to town on Saturday and drops something on him on Saturday. But yeah. No, and for those out there listening too, this week is Dave Week. Hashtag Dave Week on Twitter. Our good friend Dave Horan, Downright Dave on Twitter, and friends have had something going on Dave Week every year. This is number 5 annual, I think, that's going on this week. If you have a chance, join us on Saturday night at the game. There will be a little halftime tweet up and get a chance to meet and talk, meet and get a picture with Alema Harrington and Thurl Bailey. Some opportunities there, and come and cheer for the Jazz on Saturday night. So for those listening, again, I'm going to give a little burn time for Dave Horan. Dave Week, currently ongoing. There are activities this week. Check in with his Twitter account, Downright Dave, for a list of activities and nights that they're going on, and join in the fun. So anyway, I had to take a minute to throw that out there for our good friend Dave.
Yeah. Since this is the first episode of 2016, I thought we would do bold predictions.
Okay.
First bold prediction. Who is the next head coach to get fired?
Jeff Hornacek.
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 I don't know if that's a bold prediction. That kind of feels like a gimme.
Right. And all three of us agree on that, so I don't know how bold that is. We could name a few others, but most of them almost fit the exact mold of what could happen.
Is that so easy that we should pick the coach after him?
I would almost say so, yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure if any other coach is going to get fired mid-season, but I'm going to go ahead and say Randy Whitman.
Say who?
Randy Whitman.
Okay.
Wizards.
All right, from the Wizards.
Wizards are 12th in the East right now.
I know it's going to break John's heart, but my second and the guy who should be the first one to get fired is his good friend, Mr. Byron Scott, down with the Lakers.
That's bold.
I
figured that is bold because I thought the Lakers were going to keep him season to ensure that the team is terrible.
Tank watch.
Interesting.
You know what? That was going to be my prediction as well. I was going to go with that one as well. Because it is bold, because the Lakers are on tank watch and he fits that mold perfectly. But I will tell you this, if he continues to misuse Russell, I would almost have to think that the Lakers have to get rid of him, because Russell cannot have DNP after DNP after DNP. It's not fair. It's not right.
And it's not because of injury?
Well, if it is because of injury, I get it, but somebody else, I just saw it on Twitter last night. Somebody else was frustrated that it's happening again with him, and they're calling it an injury, but not sure how many people believe it's an injury with him.
I didn't know it. Well, he played last time against his son. The main decision I've been seeing with them is not only to move D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle to the bench, he's limiting their minutes, which makes no sense. Okay, I got it. Russell played 21 minutes and Randle played 16. I don't know what they're doing there, but they won because Lou Williams had 30 points and they're playing Phoenix, and Phoenix is giving up. In fact, Phoenix has lost 9 in a row. The Lakers have won 3. Phoenix might go ahead and drop below the Lakers and end the season as the worst team in the West.
So there you go. There's another bold prediction for you. But no, come on. Join us. Join us on the dark side, Byron Scott. Byron Scott.
They will not fire Byron Scott.
I don't know that they'll fire him midseason. Before I'm kind of with John. I don't know that anyone's going anywhere besides Hornacek middle of the year. I mean we're to January now. But I got to think that on his way to the locker room after that last game of the season, that they're just going to say, no, how about you come over here instead? And he's done. He's not even getting like a press, you know, a conference after. He's just out of there.
All right, John, next bold prediction.
All right. The East currently has 10 teams that are 500 or better. So for your bold prediction, which two of those 10 teams are not going to make the playoffs? And I'll list them in what order they are right now. Although there's 7-game difference between first and 10th. That's how close the East still is. Your current rankings right now are Cleveland, Chicago, Miami, Toronto. Next four are Atlanta, Indiana, Boston, and Detroit. And tied with Detroit for 8 is Orlando. And then right behind them is Charlotte. So there are your teams. Which two of those teams are not going to make the playoffs?
The two at the bottom. Charlotte and Orlando.
I have to say the same. I feel like Orlando and Charlotte, of those 10 teams, are the weakest link.
They've been weakest lately. Orlando's lost its last 3. Charlotte's lost its last 4. Charlotte's been having serious injury problems. So I could see Charlotte bouncing back from that once they get more guys back and they could be going back up. It's hard to say with Charlotte because I just thought they would be, you know, bad this year. And it really turned out that all they needed to do was send Lance Stephenson away and they were okay again.
And they needed Al Jefferson to violate the drug policy and that worked.
Yeah, that worked.
He just needed to relax a little.
They hope that Batum won't be out too long, but Jefferson is going to be out for another 6 weeks. So, yeah, I think Charlotte's a good bet that they're not going to make it. Orlando is as improved as I thought they would be with Scott Skiles, but trouble is this is the first time in 15 years that the East is better than the West. So they still might not quite make it.
See, and the thing that I'm thinking about is I'm thinking about star power, and I'm thinking about good coaches. And I think in Atlanta and in Boston, you have 2 very good coaches. And in Atlanta, you've got all-star talent. The Pacers have a guy who's pretty good named Paul George. You know, and I think... I like Orlando. I think they're a good young team. I think they have a much better coach than they had last year, but I think they're too young. I don't think they have anyone that's going to pull them, you know, up over that hump to get into the playoffs. And I think the other teams have guys either on the coaching staff or on the court that are going to be the difference makers.
Mm-hmm.
So who are your teams? Because you've mentioned some options, but who are your 2 bold predictions?
Well, that's I've been thinking along the same lines. Jefferson's going to be out for 6 weeks, so I don't think Charlotte's going to be able to take that. I don't think they can withstand missing their best scorer that long. And Orlando is the same thing. Is There are a lot of young guys, and not very many of them are decent shooters. Tobias Harris is really great for them. Vukovic is their best scorer. Fournier started really hot, but he's fallen off lately. But when you look at their lottery picks, Oladipo, they've moved to the bench, and that's actually worked out better for them. Peyton can't shoot. He's 31% from 3 right now. Aaron Gordon, I thought, would be a little bit more than he is right now. So maybe in his third year, we'll see him take off. So I would say like that. Now, in the East, the order is really bunched right now. And, you know, I'd be looking at teams like Toronto. What if Lowry's having a great beginning, but if Lowry's play fades, I could see Toronto plummeting like they did last year. Indiana, Paul George is having a transcendent season, and between him and having Vogel still there as the coach, I don't see them falling out. Boston just seems like they're on the cusp of doing some giant trade. And even if they didn't, I think they're good enough that they're not going to fall. And Detroit's been up and down. They started really hot, and then they cooled down, and now they seem to be ramping up again. And I think Stan Van's finally got the team buying into what he's selling, and they should be able to stay up there as well. So, yeah, I would say the eight that are currently in are the ones who are going to stay in.
Okay. Next on your bold prediction.
All right. Next on the bold predictions, who do you think is going to be the all-star starters?
Oh, man. Giving us something to think about here.
Now, let's keep in mind, starters are determined by fan votes.
Starters are fan votes.
Yes.
So Kobe Bryant will be a starter in the West.
Steph Curry will be a starter in the West. I would have to think that as unwatchable as he is, I'm not going to go there yet. Let's go to OKC because I think Westbrook and Durant.
Kevin Durant.
Thank you, because I have Harden on the mind for a second. But yes, Kevin Durant and Westbrook will be starters.
Westbrook's a guard.
Right.
So if Westbrook starts, that means Curry does not start.
Yeah, but again, fans vote, right?
But yeah, it's fans broken vote down for two guards into front and three court. Forwards.
I know, but I'm just looking at it going, you have Westbrook and I don't know. I figure they'd find some way to. I could see the NBA try and find some way to position it. So, okay, fine. Westbrook doesn't make it. Unless somehow Westbrook gains more votes than Kobe Bryant, but I'm just not buying it. So.
Well, spoiler alert, Kobe has more all-star votes than anyone in the West.
Yes, I know.
So far.
I know. And
I'm thinking of the Clippers. I'm thinking that Blake Griffin or DeAndre Jordan, if not both, have to be in that mix right now.
Dirk Nowitzki has to get a vote, some votes, I would think.
Not from the fans.
Why not?
He's not getting in on fan votes.
Come on.
He's not getting in on fan votes. It's not happening.
Because he's not top three.
I'm sorry. I'm throwing a name out there. I'm just throwing it out for fun. Come on.
I'm going to say you got Curry and Kobe as your guards. And then I'm going to say they put KD as one of the forwards, Blake Griffin, and then Anthony Davis.
There you go. Okay.
There's my West.
John?
You know what? I just looked, and they are counting Kobe as a forward.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Back to my original thought. Curry and Westbrook.
So since they are counting Kobe as a forward, you want to redo yours?
I'm saying right now, Westbrook and Curry in the backcourt. And then Kobe with Durant.
And Blake.
And either Blake or Davis. I could see Davis getting more votes than Blake. Right now, who has more votes?
I don't know about Davis. I think no one's really paying attention to the Pelicans yet. I mean, they were slowly beginning to last year because they made the playoffs. And this year, they're one of the worst teams in the West. So I don't think that's going to put him over enough yet.
Okay, if that's the case,
I think they'll go for something more tried and true. And if we know anything about fan all-star voting, they vote for guys on the downside more often than the upside. And so I see them going with Blake Griffin over Davis.
Right. So if that's the case, and you know, we'll go with that, then that's my lineup. Westbrook, Curry, Durant, Blake, and Kobe.
Yep.
Okay, so let's go over to the Eastern Conference. You got to get LeBron in there. That's the obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
I think Paul George, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, I could see Dwayne getting votes.
I don't want to say Carmelo. Let me rephrase that. I expect that I should say Carmelo, even though I don't really want to.
Problem is where are they going to put him? Because he's a forward. LeBron's a forward, and so is Paul George. So you have three forwards. Yeah. You have three forwards.
That's your three, though. Yeah.
What about a center? Or do you just go with three forwards?
They don't do centers.
Okay,
it's so three forwards. It's three front court.
All right, so there's your three front court then. Okay. Who's your back court?
Wade and Derrick Rose, maybe?
No, I don't see Derrick Rose. I think
Butler before Rose.
Yeah, Butler before Rose. So Wade and Butler, maybe?
Or maybe Kyrie. I don't know where Kyrie's at. No, Kyrie was up there because I remember John Wall had something to say about it.
That's true.
Yeah, Kyrie was up there and has he even played? I mean, fans have done that before. You remember when Yao Ming was in the league and Yao Ming was the top vote getter every year, even for years where he didn't play a single game?
You know why, though?
China.
Yeah, that's exactly
and
why.
And Tracy McGrady was like the second top vote getter, no matter how bad or good he was that year, too.
Right.
We love our Chinese listeners. Don't get us wrong.
Way to cover up there.
That's what the Jazz need. The Jazz need a Chinese player on the team to help with all the All-Star voting.
All right, that's it. Sign.
That or we need like the people of France and Brazil to really step it up.
In Australia.
Yeah, in Australia.
We've got two Australians, so, you know.
We're counting on you two.
And I know we have Australian listeners, so come on, guys, spread the word to your friends. We need all-star votes for the Jazz.
Oh, I thought you meant we had two Australian listeners. I was going to put all the pressure on them.
No, I'm talking about two players. We have enough Australian listeners to go with those two players. Okay. I don't know if we have two. I know they listen. I know there are some that listen.
Well, you know, Turkey's doing their part because Enes Kanter is getting more all-star votes than anyone on the Jazz right now.
Oh, you're going to make me sick. Don't.
Yep. That pretty much covers it. This podcast just went down the toilet. Thank you, John. John, any additional people that we haven't mentioned that you think would fit on that Eastern Conference?
Did we say Kyle Lowry?
No.
I think Kyle Lowry.
Okay.
He's having a great season for Toronto. And Toronto is pretty good about voting for their all-stars when their team's doing good.
All right, there you go. Okay. And
in fact, there it is. Lowry is right now 20.7 points a game, 6.5 assists. Yeah, he's a good one for them. I think it'll be Lowry. I think Kyrie. Has he even played a game yet?
Yeah, he played, was it the Christmas Day game against Golden State? Yeah, he's played a couple.
Okay, I'm going to check his game logs to see how many he's played. Okay, he's played 6 games.
Yeah.
That's enough for an all-star.
If he can play, when it comes to the starters, if he can play, he'll play.
All right. There you go. That's your all-stars. Do you have any more big, you know, bold predictions?
Trying to think if there's one more good one we can do.
If you don't have predictions.
Oh, I know. Here's one. What player is going to be traded before the deadline?
On what team? Jazz or any team?
Any team.
Any team.
I don't think the Jazz make a trade.
I don't think so either. Although, I heard an interesting point made tonight on the big show. I'll discuss that in a second.
Crawford, Clippers.
Good one.
If Clippers want to contend, they need to make a move.
Yeah. Yep. But is Crawford the right guy to move?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Beyond that, I couldn't even begin to guess. Let's go with Houston. They're going to trade Ty Lawson.
Who would take Ty Lawson?
I know. I'm just saying, if anybody's desperate to dump someone, I would think that Houston has to be in that desperate mode.
Maybe to dump salary. In fact, you know who would be a good trading partner? Would be Brooklyn.
Lopez?
Jarrett Jack's out for the year.
Brooklyn doesn't really care
where their season goes. They take Ty Lawson. Lawson's next year is unguaranteed. Suddenly, Brooklyn has a lot of cap space. And that's all Brooklyn can do since they don't have their picks, is they got to build through free agents and trades.
Okay, I'm going to make a bold prediction with it. Houston decides to clear some cap space. They trade two players. They'll trade Ty Lawson and Terrence Jones.
Now, there are going to be a lot of teams who are going to be interested in Terrence Jones.
And he, to me, he would be a player that would make sense for Houston dump because he's getting better. He's a team. He's a player that people are going to pay money for. And Houston knows that and probably can't pay him to keep him. I don't know when his contract's up, but he would be a guy that would make sense to me to just drop ship, send him on his way somewhere. That's my bold prediction. Okay.
And yours, John.
Kelly Olynyk. He and other pieces will be part of some big Boston trade.
Pulling that one out of left field, aren't you? All right, I could see. You're back to your point. I think Boston, you're right. Boston's in a position where they might look to make some trades. Danny Ainge is going to look to make some trades and bring in Do another one of those masterful trades he did in 2008 again, possibly.
Yeah, they've got a lot of pieces they could move. Isaiah Thomas has been great for them. I think they really liked the Jay Crowder signing. But the other guys, I can see them moving on from. Well, no, they'd keep Marcus Smart. But, you know, guys like Jared Sullinger, Kelly Olynyk, maybe even David Lee. Those are all prime pieces they could move.
Okay, so now that the bold predictions are out of the way, while we're on trade talk for just a moment, this evening was listening to The Big Show with Spence Chegets and Gordon Monson. Spence made an interesting point that I hadn't thought of, and I'm afraid to go down this dark path. But he and Gordon talked about the 8 straight games that Derek Favors has been out. And it's been one of those things where you just don't know when he's coming back and when he and if he will. And it's really one of those strange injuries. One of the things that they dropped, and I can't quote them exactly, but they suggested that the Jazz might use this as an opportunity to trade. And maybe Derek Favors, if they hinted right, Derek Favors would be that guy that they send out.
Because they're worried about his back?
Possibly.
Wow.
It was an interesting point they both made. I wish I could go back and quote it. You got to go back out and find the show find the show on 1280thezone.com and listen to it. It was right around, I heard it pop in around the 5 o'clock hour, that final hour, but I don't remember. It was actually closer to 5:30, but they were talking about that and talking about the fact that there something speaks not right about what's going on with Derek Favors right now, injury wise, and maybe the Jazz, because they're really not delivering any information on the injury, but maybe the Jazz know more than they're letting on about this injury. And maybe after holding him out 8 straight and quite possibly could be 10 straight or a lot more, that maybe he's a piece that they decide to move.
Well, when you make a trade, the players have to pass physicals. So
agreed.
Man, that would be That would be something. I mean, I'm sure you could get a lot for favors. I would hate that though. I'd hate to see favors go.
I would too. I got the feeling in the pit of my stomach the minute the two of them said something. I don't like the idea. Is it palatable? Yeah. I could see it as an option.
If they think he's going to have chronic back issues, then right. Yeah, I could see them.
I would hope not. But yes, I could definitely agree with that. It was something that the two of them threw out. So it would be interesting. I don't know. But there's a...
Oh, so they didn't like have any information or source to go on that. It was just kind of them...
It seemed to me like it was just Spence saying, I've just got a feeling about this type of thing. Yeah, it was one of those types of statements.
Okay.
They didn't seem to pose any information on it at all. They just used the presumption that the Jazz are not telling us something about Favors' injury, suggesting that that's an option. That's all. It's radio. I get it. It's radio.
Yeah,
it gives
you
something to talk about.
Well, for the record, he's only missed 6 games, and the Jazz have gone 3-3 in that time.
Well, we'll call that good right there then. Folks, let us know what you think of our bold predictions and of everything we talked about tonight. Thank you for listening to another episode of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz. You can find us on Facebook, Jedi and Germs on the Jazz. iTunes and Stitcher, download us. There's, you know, we're up to, 49 episodes. You can find us all out there on Jedi and Germs on the Jazz on both those platforms. Find us on Twitter, Jedi and Germs, Germs Guy, Torn by Devin, and Jedi Zog. And we appreciate you listening week in and week out with us. Thank you all for joining us. Talk to you next week.